The first question is, when the human creator creates dis-ease, which responds to that first, the chromosomes in general, or chromosome 14, or the RNA, or the ribose?
Neither. What responds first is the human, not necessarily at a cellular level. Everything is at a cellular level, but dis-ease, lack of ease, ease is an emotion. So emotions are contained within the inner kingdom. Ease is an emotion. It's a feeling place. I feel easy regarding this topical subject. All right, now if you have a dis-ease or a lack of ease, then what happens is, just like in a creation, it is projected sometimes from the outer kingdom, but you bring it into your inner kingdom emotion place, but then it shows up in your middle kingdom, and then it shows up as something on you, okay? So if someone splashed dirt on Bob, that would cause a lack of ease in Bob. But that would have nothing to do with his genome then. But if he was rolling in the dirt and that was an issue, then yes, it could be turned into something. But the point is that it's about the lack of ease from an emotion. Now, if the meat sack picks up on that, and that lack of connected ease is protracted, then the cells have no choice then but to respond in kind. For example, an organ may malfunction, eyes where they won't see, ears where they won't hear, feet where they won't walk, sugar levels where they can't be sustained, strokes, things stop up, things don't work the way they're supposed to. Well, just because something is malfunctioning doesn't mean that you've changed its genetic strata, but it can turn into that. But once that ease comes and goes, because if it's at a genetic level, then it would always be. If you changed it, then you'd have to change it back. So from the standpoint of the emotion place, you can adjust that as you go, almost like a per diem type of experience. But it's the long protraction of that is what then sets the gene strata to adjust to the disconnection. It matches the disconnection, and that's where the RNA would tell the gene itself that this is that connection, and this is what Callan's work with the biology total and all that business. You can, you know, blame it on the rain, but that's how that starts showing up. But from a cellular structure, it's not as impeding and an instant.
You said gene. What does the word gene, is that the RNA, DNA, ribose, that whole cellular thing?
Yeah, that's the gene. Cell.
Another word for the cell. Another word for cells. So the whole complex, after a while, it's the second level. It's like, oh, geez, we're going to have to do something about it. Because on the emotional level, you could have resolved it.
Well, that's like even when you catch a cold. See, you don't catch, you're coming down with it. It takes a while to get in, and it takes a while to get out. But that doesn't change your genetic code. All it does is an outside reaction, a knee-jerk reaction, that the already created genetic structure of the body works through. That's why you don't catch pancreatic cancer and fall over and die. It takes a while at that secondary level that you are speaking of.
Yeah, if you experience disease, if you're smart or cool about it, don't resist it, you flow through it and it's gone the next day. That's good. But if you don't and you get lost in the fight with it because you're resisting it, then it's almost like the cells are muscular backup and they're saying, oh, you need backup, then we're going to have to get involved.
Mm-hmm. And then that's what happens, and then it takes a life of its own.
And some diseases affect the genetic level and others don't.
Correct.
We're going to get into the genetic level, Carol. That's where the coffee is. So when you get to the genetic level, which is later, it's like it's burrowing down and now it's reached that level. What is affected first? The chromosome?
RNA.
RNA is affected first.
Making copies.
How how is the RNA affected?
Well, what is the RNA? That acid is what communicates to the chromosomes of how to create. That's the messenger. Well, you know what they do to the messenger?
Kill them.
All right, so there you go. So that's the messenger that's saying your cell should look like this, your cell should look like this, adjust this, this, the cell. And then, boom, the body responds in kind.
So this ease creates a different pattern or imprint.
A new message.
A new message. And the RNA solidifies that message, takes it in.
Oh. The RNA communicates that message to the DNA.
So what is it that gave the disease, the emotions, gave a message to the RNA?
Well, the emotional manifestation of a creation.
Okay, you have an emotional level first. You don't resolve it, so it's going to go to the genetic level. What carries the emotion to the RNA so that the RNA knows it's not a problem?
RNA doesn't know it's a problem. That's the problem. RNA just communicates what is. RNA only gives messages, what Carol would say, by default. So by default, it's just responding and responding and responding. That's not a problem unless that gets you in a position where your emotions keep feeding that same message of information. Because see, the message that's being laid out by the human condition is what the RNA uses to communicate to the cells to the DNA to make the cell anyway. So it's just the smaller picture of the larger verse.
So the emotion communicates bright, healthy colors, and then a disease when it makes a black color or a blurred color, and that the RNA picks that up. Oh, we got a blurred copy we got to make.
Mm-hmm. And then when that gets to that level of something that you're just not going to get rid of or let go of, that's when then the RNA has no choice but to say, okay, here's what we'll do. And then they do that, then the cells kick on and you start reproducing these, what you call, mal-created cells.
All cells are created in a relationship between the RNA and the chromosome and the ribose.
Sure.
Yeah, the chromosome is in the cell. The ribose is in there. The RNA is in there. So the RNA tells the chromosome, passes on. And do we call the RNA or the chromosome as the copying machine?
RNA would be the copier. It's what the copy is made by.
The copies are made by the RNA. What does chromosome do?
Chromosome files how it looks, the changes.
It's the map.
The map.
But the map is in part to the RNA.
No.
No, it's not.
Well, the new pattern comes from the emotion scale, and the RNA picks
right.
it up.
You could change RNA all the time. That's just the in and out of the message. So if you have that change and then another change right behind it, then it's the same. But what Carolyn's pointing out is that before you start having an effect actually at a cellular level, the RNA communicates it through to the DNA, through the chromosomes, for what kind of cell it's going to be producing and how that change is. So the cell, the end-up cell, or the copy, is affected by how the communication goes between the RNA to the chromosomes.
And where's the ribose in there?
That's the solution that it's in. Carolyn would say those were the arms.
That end up making the protein.
Right. And the protein is part of a copy?
The protein is what makes the copy.
Right. The protein makes the copy.
The protein and the ribose are RNAs the ribose RNA. Apparently that's where the messenger takes its message to tell the ribose to copy the cell.
Does it also take a message, the RNA, to the chromosome?
Gives it the message.
Gives who?
The messenger RNA.
Gives it the message.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just trying to make it logical. So why it's logical, Bob, is you got acids. You got RNA as an acid and DNA as an acid.
The ribose becomes the protein or the balancer. It's the paper that you write the message on.
And what's RNA in that metaphor?
The ink.
And what's
of the chromosome.
Where you stack the papers.
The original papers.
Yes. So can we make a sequence of this? There's a message that comes from the emotions.
Yeah, so let's go to the message that the RNA gets. At what level does that emotion imprint on the RNA?
Well, we would say instantly, because there is no time. Mm-hmm. It's just a timed element for you to sift it out. For example, you don't think of a pink elephant, that pink elephant shows up in your house that instant, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly can think about that and allow non-physical to work it out, and pink elephants will be in your house, no mm-hmm. problem. Well, the same thing is true with communication process from an emotion to the RNA. You can have the thought of growing a new arm, and it'll do it, but you've got to give it enough space for if there's any disconnection between you and you, and that serves you well, because you might grow an extra arm. Remember, we talked about that some time ago, of having an extra set of arms to make it handy,
mm-hmm.
pardon the bun. Well, give yourself a chance to work out the details, to decide what size pink elephant you'd like to create. Same thing is true at the cellular level.
Okay, yeah, when I said level, I appreciate that answer, because it's like the imprinting can be done instantly. I was wondering, is it imprinted on the nucleic acid level, or there's a sugar involved in one of the...
It can, because, see, you have a whole vast capacity of different types of cells that are part of the body. You know, you have liver cells, you have lung cells, you have blood cells, you have all the different mm-hmm. types of cells that the body is simultaneously reproducing. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of RNA that's being communicated all the time. Lots of different type of cells. There's not like one copying machine. There's a bunch of copying machines.
That gets right back to total biology, because they say that somehow you imprint on the body if you're having a problem with inheritance. If someone's cutting you out of a will, then you'll get a pancreatic problem. So that your emotion of being cut out of a will is imprinted on your pancreas. So is that what's happening at the RNA level?
That's exactly what we just described,
mm-hmm.
and we're okay with that because we ain't pushing against nothing, but how long does it take to get an inheritance worked out? 30 minutes? 30 years? See, that's all relative, how long it takes to work out the details. The same thing is true. The disconnection then takes time to affect you at the cellular level as well. But if you're looking in hindsight, you can pinpoint it back, well, you got screwed on an inheritance, so your pancreas is going to get screwed. It's after the fact, but if you knew that in advance and you knew that you were going to forfeit your healthy cellular structure over over some little dab of money, then you would hopefully make a different adjustment on the outer kingdom that's affecting your emotions anyway. That's the hope, but they rarely do it that way. That becomes the reason rather than the solution.
So the imprinting... We've got the building blocks of RNA are the pyrimidine base, your cell replaces thymine, the ribose replaces the oxyribose. So it's got sugars, purines, and pyrimidines. The adenine and your cell have hydrogen bonds. And so I'm wondering what atoms or molecules are affected by the emotions.
Every single one of them, every single time, without fail or exception. That's why we spend a great deal of energy trying to convince you what love is.
But you're saying, why does the emotion affect other than the RNA?
Okay, does the emotion affect anything other than the RNA?
Yes.
No.
So emotions mainly focus on affecting the RNA?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty drastically amazing.
changed cells, you'd have no practical function for an RNA, would you?
I didn't quite get that sentence.
If your emotions could change cells without affecting the RNA, you could imagine yourself a monkey, and then you'd instantly, all the cells would be changed, and you'd be a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd have to convince the RNA to communicate that if you did want to transition into a monkey.
So it's the funnel of your emotions. It helps. It's, pardon me?
Of the flow.
Yeah. That. Oh, man. Bob, do you realize how amazing that is? That's another one of the most amazing things I've heard from Ion.
So here's my translation. I find it hard to find what RNA does, so I have to fall back on the tactility, which is, he said flow, you said funnel, flow. It is the subtle medium of tactility. It's hard to pin down what it does. So I want to go back and get the ABC.
Okay.
You have an emotion. It affects what first?
The emotion somehow impacts on the structure of RNA.
And then you have the chromosome and the ribose. They work together to make something, a cell, a new cell?
The messenger RNA.
No, not the messenger. What do they make? What is it?
A protein.
That will be used to make a new cell?
Yeah.
A protein that the acid interacts with to tell what kind of cell will be produced.
Okay, so you have this interaction between the ribose and the chromosome. What is RNA's role in their relationship?
It brings the blueprint from the DNA.
From the emotion.
No, the emotion is within the RNA. It's going to put its whatever the emotion
pattern has
been placed on the RNA. It's going to incorporate that into the blueprint it picks up from the DNA.
It doesn't, Joe.
Okay, why do you bring in DNA here?
The RNA isn't going to do anything without knowing what the DNA wants done.
Oh, when you say DNA, that's the chromosome and ribose.
No, the DNA is just the chromosome.
Okay, right. So let's do it again. The RNA gets the imprint from the emotion, the pattern, and what does it do with the chromosome, which you're calling DNA?
Because it's a single strand, it sort of squeezes itself up against the double-stranded DNA and picks up an imprint of a blueprint of what the DNA wants it to copy.
The DNA wants it to copy. Is the DNA got the new information yet?
No, the DNA has nothing to do with the new information.
Right.
It's not impacted by the information. It's all within the RNA.
So you get the standard cell the RNA picks up from the chromosome, standard structure.
Message.
Standard message.
Mm-hmm.
And then the RNA changes that?
I don't know. Does it change the message, Ion?
To make the new pattern?
It adjusts the message based on the emotion.
So it massages the information that's already there in the chromosome.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it do with that, the RNA? What does it do with that information?
It makes a cell that...
It passes it on to the ribose?
Yes.
So you see how RNA is the go-between, which is like the tactile interval,
which no one knows somehow.
Well, our culture doesn't understand the interval, the action of the interval.
Well, they speak of RNA, they tell you what it is, but that's it.
That's a visualized. They don't get this nebulous interplay factor, because it's bringing the imprint from the emotion and then receives the... It's like the RNA gets this new imprint, and it then says, okay, to DNA, send me this stuff. Where are you? They send it over, and the RNA subtly alters it and interferes and passes it on the ribose.
Mm-hmm.
It's an infiltrator. You know, it changes what the chromosome gives it, puts a new emotional pattern on it, and gives that to the ribose, and then they start making new cells on the new pattern, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the chromosome doesn't know that there's a new pattern has been infiltrated, and a new pattern is changing what it's given.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have a new cell, that new cell then is adjusted and then adjusted and then adjusted.
By what? It's adjusted by
the new RNA.
Well, no, the RNA gives the ribose makes
got a whole new cell.
Yeah, okay, then you got a new cell.
Right, now, that new cell gets to do the same thing that happened to make that cell.
Well, the RNA doesn't have to keep sending the new pattern it has.
That's why you don't have an instantaneous stroke every time you have a bad day.
Because, why?
You have all those cells that have to be recommunicated to make new cells that get new.
That are based on the stroke person, the stroked person.
Correct, or whatever the
disease is. Problem is. So, but the thing is, the RNA, so the ribose is making the DNA, which is chromosome ribose, is making the new kind of cell, and it doesn't care. Only the RNA knows there's a new imprint.
And then that new cell gets imprinted and so on and so on.
Yeah, and once a new cell is made, then every subsequent effort to make another cell will follow that new cell's pattern.
Or whatever that particular type of cell it is, yes.
The RNA has changed what the chromosome gave it, brought in this new coloration that came from the emotion. Therefore, it's a new cell. Then the whole cell keeps making that. What is making you? It's a cell. Is this the original cell making a new cell, and it shits it out into some other area?
Well, yeah, each new cell.
It divides. That's the dividing thing. The mitosis. The cell divides, you know, that phenomenon.
It'll divide, and if it's somehow been changed by the RNA, it will keep that change and pass on that change to new cells it makes.
It's like the ribose doesn't hear from the RNA anymore. It has a pattern that the RNA originally gave it, made a cell, and then goes to keep making cells like that one.
Yeah.
So what do we call the stealth operation where we're projecting on the RNA? This, like, he brings a new thing in that the chromosome and ribose are indifferent to. They don't care that they're creating new cells.
Yeah, we're getting you up a name. Carolyn, you pick one, and then we'll embrace it.
Well, we're messenger RNA going to the ribosomal RNA, so... I mean, it is like stealth RNA, so it's emotional RNA is what we could call it, ERNA.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't mean that. I'm just saying, you know, I don't have to throw the term, but do we agree it's kind of controlling the situation? It's much like 24. When Pillar took over the CTU unit, he could direct it for Logan's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole operation was working for him and didn't know that there was this hidden agenda going on there for Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the RNA is doing. Pillar was a new emotional tone directing it to another area, representing a diseased emotion coming from Logan. So the RNA is this new manager who has an agenda, and the chromosome and ribose don't care about that agenda. They just keep getting paid, you know, and doing their job. So the RNA is this intelligent factor. But you don't want to call it that, but it is the closest to the manager as a
person. Well, you could call it stealth RNA because it is going in, and absolutely no one knows this is happening.
Okay, so let's say, without making it stealth, what would be the explanation? The chromosome and the ribose don't know that the RNA changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the RNA is not stealth, it just changes, and they just keep making it for... what the RNA gets from the emotion, but it doesn't know about the RNA's changing. So that's why you get this changing flux thing in the RNA. That's why I call that the tactile interval.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. Could you call the RNA the medium or the conduit, the messenger? Most people think television, radio are media and messengers. So the RNA is the medium, and the chromosome and the ribosome are the content of the cell that do the work as efficient parts of the cell.
Good.
Okay, so we got that, Carol. Now, what does ACE-302 do, and what does it affect step by step? Or the lactose ringers, whatever it is. In it.
It's ringers and ACE-302, our treatment.
So that substance comes in, and what does it affect first?
The extra hydrogen, or hydrogen-enriched peroxide. That's what you'd like to call it better.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing it does,
that's H1.
302. It's H302.
Yeah, but the extra hydrogen, H2O is water. What is H2O2? Anything?
Peroxide.
Peroxide.
Right. And then the extra H.
Adds. added to peroxide is H3O2.
Yeah, what was that term I was using?
Hydrogen-enriched peroxide.
Oh, okay, so that's the technical name for H3O2, hydrogen-enriched peroxide.
Right.
Okay, that comes in. What does it touch first?
What does it touch first has nothing to do with it. What's its function? Why does it make the solution more amiable of affecting the RNA of the cellular level in dealing with cancer? And the answer is that because of the level of acidity in the pH of your lactated ringers, this marvelous solution, H3O2 allows that a better, easier litmus degree of absorption. It can adjust the RNA and not kill the cell, just correct.
So the H3O2 is
stabilized.
A mediator between the RNA and the
lactose
ringer.
We like to stabilize.
Stabilizer. It's in between the RNA and the lactose ringer, right?
Yeah. It sweetens the pot so it can dissolve in solution.
So that the lactose ringer could dissolve.
They'll be absorbed by the cellular stress.
And that's the RNA and DNA?
All of it, yeah.
All of it. So the RNA, so the H3O2, okay, the ringer comes in. If you didn't have the H3O2, the ringer would mess with the RNA.
It would just hydrate you mostly.
And what's that mean, hydrate you?
Put water in your system.
So we know that the RNA gets scrubbed because the H3O2 comes in and makes a new effect from the lactose ringer on the RNA and the DNA, the whole cell.
Yes, some may call it like adding soap to your water to make it easier to scrub.
Okay. The H3O2 is a soap.
Yeah, it is a detergent. It has a detergent property.
Yeah, that's good. Like property, you nailed it. Because that's what we're talking about, is to get this in a position where it can scrub the cells.
Right, hydrogen peroxide, H2O2, is a detergent kind of stuff, right, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
So this extra interesting detergent scrubs the RNA, and is it cleaning off the blurred emotion imprint better?
It sees, it negates what you call a malignancy at the cellular level.
And that malignancy is caused by the emotion coming in, passed on by the RNA, and then it kind of gets stuck there with that malignant pattern that the cells reproduce, right?
No, we don't have this clear. It negates what you call a malignancy at the cellular level. That implies that it's working on a cell. We have the impression it's working on the RNA.
Well, it does work on the RNA, but when you work on the RNA, how can you tell if it doesn't have a cellular reflective response?
So can you say it works on the RNA first?
Of course.
Within the cell.
But the point of the H3O2 is so that at a cellular level it can be absorbed.
Yeah, the lactose is the important stuff, but you need the H3O2 to mediate, to soften it, to lubricate it.
Get it to where you can get to those cells.
Yeah, where the RNA can respond. So what does the RNA pick up from lactose ringer? How did it get, what did it change this pattern that came from the emotion?
No.
So, yeah, what does it do once it scrubs it? What's happened?
Yeah, what is scrubbed?
The scrubbing takes place from the telling the body to make this kind of cell rather than the malignancy cancer cell. So the scrubbing takes place when you start reproducing cells naturally the way it's supposed to, and no more malignant cells are replicated.
Yeah, now they didn't know it was malignant, but it was caused from an emotional disconnect. And then somehow the lactose ringer with the H3O2 makes the cells make another kind of cell, drop making the malignant one.
Right.
And they go back to an original model, a healthier model, not an emotion-containing level. Well, not a negative emotion, a disconnected emotion.
Right. Good.
Yeah, can you say that the cell is a force field that doesn't have emotions?
No.
No, you can't say that. Okay. So it somehow gets a healthier emotional tone.
A new lease on life.
a new lease on life because...
Because you changed the information processed as an emotion to the RNA.
Now, you've changed the information processed as emotion, which went to the RNA. Yeah, to the RNA didn't make sense. The information from the emotion, you've changed the information that embedded in the RNA. The bad emotion.
Noticing the emotion.
What notices the emotion? The effect, scrubbing effect?
No, Bob, that's the process.
The RNA notices the emotion, and it
makes
a malignant effect, and the lactose does something to the emotional pattern that's been imprinted, and we're interested in what do you say it changes it to?
Anyone that notices.
Anyone that notices.
Okay, let me go at it this way.
What are they noticing, Carolyn?
In terms of the emotions affecting the RNA, are there water molecules in RNA? I'm just wondering if there's anything of water around the RNA, thinking of homeopathy and how... water can hold the pattern of emotions. Even Emoto talked about water holding emotions.
Can you turn water into acid and it still be water?
No.
Well, then you can't do that to RNA either.
Okay. The OH detergent part of H3O2, can that pull off a hydrogen out of RNA and cause a change?
Sure.
So could that be how H3O2 works?
No. I'm sorry, because we can't get you. Your questions are fabulous, but and they're just trying to lay the foundation, and we get that. But we have to be very, very careful because this is to get you to the conclusion, and the details that you're working through are the way to do that. But we're sorry, it sounds as though we're being cheeky, and we're not. But you got to ask it from the standpoint that we can say affirmative.
You're not sounding cheeky. Let's not get distracted. We want to go back and figure out what is this scrubbing mechanism, in other words.
Are we just not asking the right questions?
No, we're trying to figure out.
Bobby, you have to back off right now because I'm on to something and I want to continue it.
Well, that's what I'm on to too.
No, you're not.
You don't see you don't want the scrubbing thing explained anymore.
I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
The water can't be RNA.
The water what?
Molecule can't be RNA.
Yeah, so I can't go at it from the water point. What I'm trying to get at is whether the RNA is somehow chemically changed to create the emotion and then...
No, to register the emotion.
To register the emotion on the RNA and then our treatment undoes that chemical.
Well, it doesn't undo it. It just changes the message.
So how is the RNA changed chemically when it registers the emotion?
It registers the emotion and moves its acid level to a higher or lower level.
That's the negative first phase, right, Carol?
Changes the pH.
That's the negative first level we're talking about, Carol. The beginning, the emotion imprinting on the RNA.
Yeah, correct. To... a more alkaline or more acid level?
It depends.
Yeah, it depends on the person.
It changes the pH, period.
Well, and also, yes, and that's how you can adjust RNA. But now, also, the degree of change has to do with the strength of the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but we got something here, pH. Now we want to know how the lactose and H3O2 changes the pH again.
Well, it doesn't. It provides the lactated Ringer solution is a way at a cellular level to adjust and if there's cancer cellular generation in progress, the scrubbing effect, if that's, if you don't like that word, we understand. This new solution adjusts the RNA just like an emotion does. Like an emotion does. It adjusts the RNA so that it no longer makes a cancer cell.
But did you say that there were cells already in there that are not diseased that respond to this new solution?
Yes, but they respond. They don't. They respond just as they were already anyway, because lactated ringers doesn't change anything. It just sets a new information within the body.
What did we just say a second ago, Carol? We had the right words. It doesn't change the pH.
It doesn't work at a cellular level. It adjusts and redefines the cells that aren't cancer. It adjusts RNA so the cancer and process.
It replaces, if the RNA is a managerial environment, it replaces it. It changes the environmental tone. That the other cells that aren't diseased, apparently for cells being made, if there are all these diseased cells being made once the RNA is affected by the bad emotion, then are there other cells laying around that were there before the new disease cells took over?
Sure.
Yeah, did you hear that point, Carol? That there are cells that aren't diseased that respond to the lactose. Is that what you were saying, Ion?
Yeah. You can give this solution to everybody. And all it can do is make them better.
Give the solution to everybody, you mean including the disease cells?
Right, but you don't have to have cancer to take Dr. Dean's cure.
You know how if you strike a gong, it just emanates through the whole environment. Mm-hmm. Is it like the hydrogen? Let's not just think of it. It hits a gong, and everybody responds to the new gong.
Well, that's right. The reverberation.
Reverberation
is at the cellular level. The essence, build essence of the building blocks that allowed them to notice that everyone has an individual DNA already. Anyway,
that's what the cells notice.
Yes,
it's like just as we would do that politically in society. This is a microcosm of that.
Good.
And it's interesting because I'm always talking about how our DNA has a perfect blueprint of us, and if we just give it the right building blocks, it'll get back to doing what it does naturally.
Right, but Carol, think, as I was saying, when I was trying to get what touches what, that's a visual. This goes along and touches that from the eye's point of view. But if you think of the new substance as having a sound component, it brings in a new gong that resonates everything differently.
Yes.
Not just a visual connecting, it's a gong effect, an acoustic level, Carol.
Yeah.
A substance carries a gong, a sound, and they respond to the new song, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's important because this can't be just on a linear
level.
It's got to be dimensional.
They won't get it. Good. Mm-hmm. Because they also don't know what it is besides. But you're saying the scientist
science bias.
Right, but the scientist eye biased. Why would... You see, that's the eye bias is what's screwing them up. They're trying to see what connects to what visually. They're forgetting the resonance of the sound world, the all-encompassing effect. So they might not...
The resonance of the emotion world.
Right? If the inner kingdom is acoustic, the outer kingdom is eye, Carol, in general terms.
Mm.
So it's interesting that Ion says that the scientists might respond to the string theory, which is about sound levels. The sound level zone, you're saying they might like that idea.
Maybe. The same way they can't register what a thought is, but yet they can do an EEG and tell when you're thinking.
Right. That's where you can't define anything. I like McLuhan said, objects are unobservable. Only relationships between objects are observable. You can't define what thought is, what a soul is. If you really go at it, you can on the surface say, well, that's what it is, but it'll fall apart if you investigate it. So this level of not being able to be precise, that's not a problem. For the non-visual senses, that's where it moves into the feeling place, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what we can say clearly, that will stand every single time without fail or exception.
are in the thought.
Yes. Good.
So, Carolyn, that I understand. I see that you bring in the hydrogen ringers, and it puts another song musical tone, and everybody responds to it.
Very good.
If you put another substance in, that they don't respond to that song. H2O2 is the magical song.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've said many times that everybody can do ringers.
Right. So, yeah, it's like Back to the Future or one of those movies where the right singer is in front of the band and everybody responds, whereas just lactose ringers is not a good band.
Right, and if you're allergic to lactated ringers, you're pretty much dead anyways.
Oh, there's an allergy factor there?
No, there's not. This, if there was, then you wouldn't make it. You wouldn't worry about dying of cancer.
Okay, but and the HCO2 makes sure there's never going to be an allergy problem.
There's not an. You can't be allergic. You can't be allergic.
So lactose ringers,
lactated ringers.
Why did you bring up that thought then?
Because.
Everyone can take it, period.
Right.
That's
he said you can't be allergic to. You just made a
stand. Come on, Bob.
What
please. It's fine for everybody, period.
I know, but the opening sentence was, if you respond to lactose, if you're allergic, blah, blah, blah. It set up a false premise. Well, there's no allergy involved with it, but I went.
It was kind of a joke.
Okay, it's a joke. So even though we agree that it's a song gong, what would be the visual complement, not complete, of the connecting process that the eye would follow? That's what we were trying to get at, Karen. What touches what? So the lactose ringer touches, because where does chromosome 14 come into this?
Right.
That's activation from the RNA in the gene copy. Chromosome 14 is what adjusts and creates a different communication that will literally actually have an effect on the arms of the double helix of the actual strata of the cell or genome.
Not just the arms of chromosome 14, but the arms of all the chromosomes?
Well, through chromosome 14, it changes all the arms. That's why we were saying it'd have more strands.
Yeah, right.
More than a double helix. It could become 144 pair.
Okay, so let's begin with square one. Is chromosome 14 the only one with an arm, Carolyn?
Yes. No.
He just said yes.
What arm?
There's this arm term we've heard from the beginning. And it's something's called an arm. And
each chromosome is like an X with two short arms and two long arms.
Oh, yeah, that's what it looks like.
Right, but this is the only one that you can change is through chromosome 14.
You can change the arms of chromosome 14.
Correct.
That's the four part, or the four things sticking out, right, Carol?
Right.
It's the only one that's flexible.
And if you change it, then you will change all of them, but you can't change any of them unless you do it vis-a-vis chromosome 14.
Wow.
Okay, so the damaged RNA, that, let's go back through this in chromosome 14's role. It responds to the emotional RNA.
Good. We like that emotional RNA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The smoke monster.
Science is not going to like it, but for what you're doing, it's good.
Yeah, and emotion is part of it. So the smoke monster comes through the RNA. What happens? And then it's going to, what was it going to do? Pick up something from the chromosome, Carolyn. It's going to pick up the map?
It picks up the map.
And then changes it. Okay, so when the smoke comes in, is the 14 arm, chromosome 14, part of the map? And communication back to the RNA of the map?
Yes, and it sets the new legend for what the new chromosomal archetype is going to look like.
Right, so chromosome 14 is the part that responds to the new RNA, emotional RNA.
That's exactly correct, and that's why if you're going to do this scrubbing process to clean it up, it'll attach only at chromosome 14. And when it does, and that changes, or some may say activates, that's when you're going to come up with the more strands
chromosome 14, it responds, and then you have the new bad cells made. Now, what does HPO2 do?
Let's clean that up some more. Ian said, if you scrub the RNA, it will attach only to chromosome 14. What does that mean?
Well, that's where the communication, that's where you make a change in the...
It does not only, it's the only thing involved is 14, Carol.
Why is that, Ian?
It's the only one that does the change.
It's the only one that's receptive to that new information. Everything else is closed. Every other chromosome pair is busy.
Right. Chromosome 14 is the main liaison with the RNA.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to change it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you're going to change it.
And if you catch cancer now, you catch it through chromosome 14.
Right. And chromosome 14...
Now, wait, Bob. Now, that was big.
Yeah. You catch it through chromosome 14 because it's part of the tactility count. It's flexible. It can change and respond to the new.
It gets duped
by the new.
And the duped is that the chromosome RNA doesn't know good or bad. Mm-hmm. See, the body thinks that a cancer cell is more healthy than a regular cell. That's why it keeps copying it.
Yeah, the RNA fooled it. And the chromosome is in legion with the... It goes along with whatever the RNA wants.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it is non-physical.
Where is non-physical in this situation?
Well, non-physical, Bob. It goes along with whatever the RNA, the messenger, portrays they desire.
So we're describing physical chain reactions, but there's also the non-physical is watching this and respond. You guys want to go with the new emotional smoke monster RNA? We'll go along with that.
You want cancer cells? Okay, we'll get in the cancer business. We'll make cancer.
And that's what's really causing the change. But from the physical, when you just look at the physical, we're describing the physical mirror of that response.
Well, exactly, but that's going to be a non-physical reaction because that's the completion. That's the energy that's going to allow the scrubbing to take place.
So you're bringing in the non-physical as we describe the what touches what.
Absolutely, because there's space even inside a cell that contains as much non-physical as... There is.
Yeah, we're describing the interaction of the matter, the physical, which is tiny compared to the non-physical in the cell.
In that cell. But that's okay. But the reason we brought that point in is because then you start, you'll, at the end of the day, if you get this just right, you'll get a real good, pliable definition of what non-physical is.
Okay, but let's go.
Yeah, so now I have to go back to...
What does the...
There is the non-physical reaction, and I missed the rest of that.
Okay. The non-physical reaction is like the RNA giving a new message. Well, when you give a new message to non-physical, it responds through chromosome 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's the chromosome as an interface, a tactile relationship between the physical and non-physical.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say the RNA is that.
Correct. Because you could parallel it if you're going to stretch it. You could say that the RNA would be the essence of a thought.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you were going to use it and draw a parallel, you could get away with that.
What's the...
And then the...
Chromosome 14 an essence of thought?
No, then the essence of a thought, then when you take it to the DNA and make it into something, that's a creation.
That would be a one... process of creation, of manifestation.
And so, what is the chromosome 14 in relation to defining the RNA as essence of a thought? What is chromosome 14 in relation to that?
Would be the meat sack.
The container?
Yeah.
Right, so you have this RNA in different situations. They're taking terms being the container or the meat sack.
Okay, yes, but let's do it. We can turn this around for just one second, not to confuse. But if you could figure out how to give a human being cancer, if you could figure out how to give a human being cancer, you certainly would know instantly how to cease it.
Right, but Carolyn, we see the RNA as a... Not the container, but the intermediary between the ribose and the chromosome.
Now we're talking about the non-physical, and the chromosome becomes more of an intermediator between the non-physical and the physical.
Well, the connection. Good.
Yeah, the RNA's not involved in that. So it's different when
that's involved. That's now in the ascension. We spoke about this. An ascended human creator would have an activated chromosome 14.
Mm-hmm.
And activated means it would go through a change. Now, you can have physical and non-physical and never have any interaction, so you think, okay? Mm-hmm. But if you do get it and that ascension process takes place, then the non-physical becomes a part of the physical and you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, we're talking about that today. So yeah. you can cure your cancer with the non-physical operating the chromosome 14, or go the physical route with H302 affecting the chromosome 14.
They're both the same. It's just how you're going to describe it.
You're saying H302 is very close to non-physical?
No.
Hey, well, why'd you say they are both the same? What was both the same?
The two treatments.
The two.
Using the physical treatment of the bringers in H302.
Or the ascended non-physical treatment.
Good.
Those are the two approaches, Carol.
Right.
Well, and they're actually the same approach, just different words describing them.
Yeah, well, if you say the same approach, that implies HVO2 is somewhere near the non-physical level.
That's how we... No, Bob, HVO2 is just the... It's the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down.
Yeah, it's the substance. Since there's no difference between non-physical and physical in the end, if you're getting them together, HCO2 represents non-physical in the physical, or is...
Don't stretch it out that way.
Don't stretch it far, because then you're going to bring in sugars, and you're going to bring in a whole other mess.
Well, I'm just saying...
No, you don't. You can't create a metaphor with it.
No, how could HCO2 be the same as non-physical?
It's not.
Well, that's what I thought you were saying when you said they are the same. No. You did say those words.
No, the ascension process of someone... like the people who are portaling and everything, it can be similarly done with the treatment.
Okay, but both activate
chromosome 14.
Oh, okay. Okay, they both have, the chromosome 14 responds to both.
And that's how you can prove it, is by the change in chromosome 14.
Right, so in the, okay, so...
Where are you?
I don't know. Bob's taken over, but
he's doing good
as long as we can keep him from making too many metaphors.
We've got the first ionic process. How ionic. Let's see. Look, Carol, we figured out the first phase, what chromosome 14's role is when the emotional poison comes in. Now we want to figure out how chromosome 14, if we have figured out, responds to HCO2. Why?
It responds, but because it changes, and on the ascension.
H3O2 is a more equal substance to have a more fluid connection to RNA to have a causal change or reaction to chromosome 14. That's the only point of H3O2. It's a more equaled state of communication.
Right, so the RNA is, when the new gong comes in and everybody changes, chromosome 14 especially responds, that affects RNA, the relationship between chromosome 14 and RNA. You know, we said RNA...
Well, no, the question is, how does the affected RNA make chromosome 14 straighten up?
Okay. Here's how.
By affected RNA, the dirty RNA, Carol?
No, the scrubbed RNA. Sorry.
Oh, the new gonged RNA. How does it make the 14 respond?
Yeah.
Okay. How it makes it respond is it sends a new message that chromosome 14 picks up on.
The gong effect.
It picks up on and has a causal reaction.
Now, that's a different causal reaction. That means it reacts.
It causes a reaction.
It, it, it has a cause. That means the chromosome 14 receives new information and then causes something back in the RNA. Is that what you mean?
No.
No.
Okay. It just has a reaction. You put in the word causal. I don't know why you put causal in there.
Because it's the reason that the RNA has a effect on chromosome 14.
So it has the new RNA causes a reaction in the chromosome 14.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what, you know, it causes a cause.
So what kind of reaction is that? Does it,
Well, if it's from the rings, if it extends the arms and splits the double helix, it does that. If it's ringed, then it goes from a ringed standpoint and it goes into this, it just splits, right?
The chromosome can be a ring.
Yeah, you've heard that before. Chromosome 14, part of what it can do is make a ring of itself on one end.
And the others can't.
No.
You mean two of the prongs become connected, look like a circle?
No.
No, not that?
I think one of the prongs folds in on itself and makes a ring. I'll have to check
on that. Oh, okay, yeah. It makes a circle out of itself.
Right.
That's right. So if you can do that at chromosome 14, then you can have as many pairs as up to 144 if you're going to create a perfect cell.
A pair would be the four points, Carol, in the chromosome?
The two arms.
The two arms. See, it crosses over. It looks like there's four arms. The two strands over. Double
strand.
Make
you have
four arms.
144 pairs.
Yeah, I just want to get the definition.
The X is two strands, Bob.
Yeah, four arms.
Nothing
strands.
To do with four.
No, Carol, the X looks like four, you know, four
okay,
little arms.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, the four arms, the two strands, and then what happens to them?
They become split. 144.
And do they split? They just split in the middle where they cross. That splits, and then two arms go off, and the other two arms are joined, go off somewhere else.
No. Instead of a double helix, you end up with a 12 times 12 helix.
So you split them, and then they become more.
Well, they become, the double helix keeps doubling until there's 140.
Oh, so when the cross, which is that double helix back, if you split them, then they become singular strands, and then they can kind of multiply.
In chromosome 14.
In chromosome, it only happens in chromosome 14. That's right. The only one that splits.
Like that, yes.
It kind of like becomes super replicating, Carol.
That's right.
And it doesn't super replicate. When you get 144 pairs, then what happens is you have what is called a perfect cell.
Oh.
But Carol, do you see?
And when you have a perfect cell, then there is no disease that can affect the cell.
Right, but you take the two strands, you split them down the middle where they cross, and do you agree, Carol, the first image from that is two separated strands, right?
I don't know if that's how it works, Bob. You're just making it up.
I'm trying to figure out how the word split ion said leads to the making of many.
Well, I don't know either. Let's find out.
The rings and the arms of chromosome 14, if it's a ring, that's one aspect. If it's an arm, those arms can make an extra double helix. Now, this DNA, what you call the DNA charting, it will end up looking like, Carolyn, you know, if you have wavelengths in a double helix, you know, the up and down, what it'll be is it'll be like a candy cane.
Mm.
You'll have 144 rather than two.
Mm.
You'll have 144 swirls of a helix.
Mm-hmm. So are they crossing over each other?
No, they're beside each other. Instead of two, there'll be 144. And it'll sort of swirl like a candy cane looks. You know how the red and the white come together?
Each one of them or the whole batch would look?
The whole batch.
To look like a swirling candy cane.
Yes, and there'll be, instead of two pairs swirling, it'll be 144 pairs swirling.
So you'll have 144 lines all jammed up together, and that'll swirl around a candy cane.
That would be the candy cane.
It would be, and that would be then, that would be the essence of what you'll call then a perfect cell. Are the 144, 72,000 one size, 72 in another, or I'm not sure how you get the 100, you get 144,000 and the two strands multiply, Carol, the two split strands, they each produce 72,000, then they hook up.
72,
and
it's 144, it's not, you're saying 144, not 144,000, right, Ian?
Right.
144.
Right. Well, 144,000, that's a different conversation. That's what happens when you then, when you change the if you put 144 strands, you'll end up with 144,000 combinations of DNA, Bob. So you were right, Bob. It was just that your 144,000 is the next stage.
Right, but I'm just telling you, these two splits, they both duplicate, and you get 72 on one side and 72 on another, then they intertwine to make 144.
Right, and then when you have all the other chromosomes that are going to be affected, so that's where you come up with the 144,000.
Oh yeah, the other chromosome will be affected by all this operation in the brain.
Absolutely, because each one of those double helixes will contain the effect on all the other chromosomes because you've made a whole new cell.
A double helix. When you look at a double helix, Carol, you look at the spiraling part of one of these helixes. There's a whole, but there's 22 little spirals in there.
Well, no, there's one spiral, but at different points.
There's points along it to make one
as they differentiate between chromosome 4 and chromosome 14.
Right. There's like
one change at 14. You now then have changed every chromosomal pair, or what you call, what did you call it, Carol, the polypeptide bonding.
Right.
Yeah, which was, I wrote down, I sent it to you, I think, Carol, that sentence, which came out of Greg's, Riggs, I remember the little arm, the cross, each arm that makes the cross, each is a chromosome.
I'll rewind that. Just so I can make a better recording there. Just put that back.
One of these helixes. There's a whole, but there's 22 little spirals in there.
Well, no, there's one spiral, but at different points are there.
Yeah, there's points along it to make one.
That's how you can just differentiate between chromosome 4 and chromosome 14.
Right. There's like
one change at 14. You now then have changed every chromosomal pair, or what did you call it, Carol, the polypeptide bonding.
Right.
Yeah, which was, I wrote down, I sent it to you, I think, Carol, that sentence, which came out of Greg's reading, polypeptide bonding. But I just remember the little arm, the cross, each arm that makes the cross, each is a chromosome, each one of those strands has 22 parts, right? 22 levels? Is that where the 22 comes in?
No. There are 22 chromosomes. And one sex chromosome. So what I'm saying is within each cell are all the chromosomes.
Right.
So that when you have a cell with chromosome 14 and it's 144 strands, that's going to reverberate through all the other chromosomes.
In the cell.
In the cell,
yeah.
Right, Ion?
Yeah.
And then what is the effect of that?
Perfect cell.
So something about this 144 combinations stabilizes the other chromosomes?
Oh, no. They'll all then have helixes. They'll increase by 12 times 12 as well. They'll have every possibility into the 144,000, but within the 144,000, everything under the sun can be contained within that perfect cell and not have an effect, making it to replicate a Lou Gehrig's disease cell, an aneurysm cell, a cancer cell, a leukemia cell. It will take care of all of those.
Okay.
Now, you don't have to have your solution give this solution the capacity and or propensity to have the same effect. Mm-hmm. Non-physical doesn't care how you get it. Mm-hmm. It's smaller appeal, swallow it. Fine. Mm-hmm. If it, you see, whatever it takes to get you there, get there. You know, take care. Remember,
blue pill or pink pill.
40 years ago, when we talked about
Rob, I have a question, please. I'm back at how the treatment does this in the first place to chromosome 14.
Yeah.
Does it kind of stabilize this unstable arm of chromosome 14?
Say the sentence one more time.
Does the treatment, Ringer's and H302, somehow stabilize the unstable arm of chromosome 14?
Yes. Now, why are you calling chromosome 14 an unstable arm?
Because that's the arm that will bend itself up because of instability to make the loop.
It's the only one that will have that ability.
I wouldn't call it unstable. It's adjustable.
Okay, adjustable arm. So that is fantastic. That is amazing.
And if you go at it from a standpoint, even in the medical science world, because I mean, you got to defend this. Mm-hmm. If you can come right back around, you can come back around and say, okay, how do you give a human cancer?
A human what, sorry?
Give a human being cancer.
Oh, yeah.
If you can figure out how to cause cancer, then you can, without further exception, eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
So back to, just to review, the RNA has a special relationship with chromosome 14. RNA gives a message, an emotional message to chromosome 14. And what happens next, Carol? The chromosome 14 then passes on to...
No, you get it all back.
Remember, RNA comes in, chromosome 14 has the map. Chromosome 14 gives the map to the RNA. The RNA surreptitiously changes and hands over the ribose, and then they make a new cell.
But you have to take out the word special relationship. It doesn't really...
Well, the RNA can't get... It gets its map from chromosome 14.
Right. And if chromosome 14 is a little out of balance, then the emotional RNA and the adult chromosome 14 are, you know, a nightmare about to happen.
Yeah, I don't get the unbalance. See, RNA is unbalanced. It's got the new emotion.
All right.
It needs to get the ribose going, and it has to bring in it has to get the map from chromosome 14.
And all the chromosomes. You don't have to single out chromosome 14.
Oh, the map from all the chromosomes.
Right.
And
the only change takes place is in chromosome 14.
Well, when the RNA takes the map from the chromosome, gives the ribose, and it's the new changed RNA, there's a new cell made. Does the chromosome 14 respond to the new cell?
Yeah. No, it doesn't work like that. It can create the abnormal cell, but...
It can, but when you clean it up, it'll become the changing factor for all of the other chromosomes once it's copied or created new.
Okay, so what I get from that, the chromosome 14 is passive in the first phase. Mm-hmm. It's just got the file of what the map is. The RNA says, okay, we need a file, we need a map. And the chromosome gives it all the chromosomes give their map to the RNA. RNA goes over, changes it with the new emotional coloring, and gives it to the ribose, and a new aberrated cell is made. Now, when you bring in the lactose ringers, look at the word ringer, clonging, the lactose rings, now there's a little bit of emphasis on chromosome 14 when it gives a map to the RNA to make the new one.
Yeah, there's something that we just learned here that the treatment...
affects chromosome 14.
Affects chromosome 14. So the treatment is affecting RNA...
No, 14 first.
And affecting chromosome 14.
Could we... It maybe all happens simultaneously, but can you say it affects the chromosome? The chromosome 14 gives a new map. It fools the RNA, which is working on a map that it's got from all the chromosomes, but then the chromosome 14 responds to the gong, gives a new map to the RNA. The RNA may not notice it, passes on the ribose, and they make a new cell, a cleaned-up cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. So we're trying to figure out factor of chromosome 14 in the new situation?
In the new situation, chromosome 14 is stabilized, so it starts making pure copies of what it wants copied. Yeah, because it's stabilized, and then it apparently has always wanted to reproduce itself and create 144, so it starts doing that as well.
Okay, Carolyn, now, here's
okay, you got to stop so I can enjoy the
We have to let it flow for a second.
I know, but I want to tell you, you're confusing. The RNA is the unstabilized in the birth situation.
First situation. They're both a bit different, you know, RNA has the emotional component, and there's
The RNA comes in with the emotional component, gets the file, this is the old metaphor we had, gets the file from chromosome 14, alters it without the chromosome 14, knows it, and then works with the ribosome and creates a new thing. Correct that statement if it needs correcting.
That's what happens.
Yes, the chromosome 14 is not involved with the RNA is destabilized or new, because it alters the map it gets from the chromosome 14 because of the new emotion, and then gives it to the ribosome to make a new cell.
But it doesn't go to chromosome 14 first. It goes to the RNA first.
The RNA is bringing a new emotion in.
Emotion
impacts the RNA.
The emotion doesn't come from chromosome 14.
No, listen. The emotion registers in the RNA, the new disease. Give me the map you use around here. Chromosome 14 gives the map to the RNA. The RNA changes it with its new emotional virus, picked out from the person, and gives it the ribosome to make a new cell. That's what's going on here, Carol. In that situation, I regard RNA as destabilized, not chromosome 14. Now bring in what you mean by the unstabilized chromosome 14 in the new.
Well, emotional RNA could be making some minor changes in the cellular structure. When you bring in chromosome 14 in an unstable pattern, if chromosome 14 is unstable, that's when the cells can be really bad and malignant.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Now.
Yeah, but don't you? The RNA begins the bad process. Chromosome 14 is not involved.
They work together, but some cells can just have the emotional component, but when the chromosome 14 is really bad, then you get the cancer.
Right, so you're saying that the RNA comes in polluted, picks up a file from the chromosome, takes that file, alters it with the new pollution, gives it to the ribose, they make a new cell, and that affects the chromosome 14.
It doesn't affect the chromosome 14. It affects the cells that are made with the unstable chromosome 14 blueprint.
New chromosome 14. I see. So when you have a new cell, I forgot, the chromosome 14 is a new chromosome 14 in the new cell.
Right.
Oh, okay. So the disease, it begins the RNA, that affects the new cell, which affects the disease chromosome. Okay. So now the ringers do what to the disease chromosome 14?
It stabilizes chromosome 14, so it stops giving defective maps.
Right. So when you're going to cure, when you're going to bring the ringers in, you don't go towards the RNA. You've got to go to the chromosome 14. That's what I get from that. It's now the key factor.
Well, they're both key factors.
Because the chromosome 14 gets stabilized and gives a new map to the RNA, which then gives ribose and make new cells, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the ringer in hydrogen affects, does the HCO3 O2 affect the RNA and destabilize chromosome 14 in the scrubbing?
Yeah.
Could you say it affects the chromosome 14 first?
No, Bob, there's no first.
It affects both of them, and so the RNA has a new, you change the chromosome 14 to have the new information, and that makes it a better thing.
Everything's going along good, Bob, until you get to the place where you say chromosome 14 tells RNA to change and make a new.
Yeah, no, I understand the chromosome 14 is polluted due to the RNA being a factor. Then the ringer comes in and songs.
The RNA does not change make chromosome 14 unstable. We haven't asked about that yet.
No. The new cell that the RNA, polluted RNA, creates a new cell that's a cancer cell that contains undestabilized. contains a new kind of chromosome.
Here's the question to ask Ion. Ion, does the emotional RNA set up the instability of chromosome 14?
No, because it gets the map from chromosome 14. Unwittingly, the chromosome 14, which is an old cell, it gives the copy to the RNA. RNA goes and makes a new bad cell with the ribose, and that new bad cell has a new damaged chromosome 14.
Yes, but it doesn't say, Bob, we just said no to that, and you just repeated it again.
That's what you mean. No, you have to be patient. That's what I think you're saying.
Well, you just back off a little bit and let's ask a question.
Well, you've
said it four times now.
We won't agree with it either time.
Stop.
Okay, well, you've got to restate what's going on.
Ion, does emotional RNA destabilize chromosome 14?
No.
So how does chromosome 14 get destabilized?
It doesn't. It makes perfect cancer cells when it's making cancer cells.
Okay, Carol, it doesn't become destabilized. You agree for the last 10 minutes?
No, shut up, Bob. I haven't got a clue what's going on.
I'm telling you where the switch was. You thought that destabilizing was in the chromosome 14, and we were working with that assumption. Now we find no, it doesn't. So
I never said that at all. Ion, what are you trying to say?
That they are.
Why can't you go step by step?
He's trying to say a sentence.
Okay. RNA is the information acid in the cell. And of all the chromosomes that are in the cell, that would be the DNA. The RNA is the messenger. The messenger only can affect chromosome 14. And when the RNA gives a new message to chromosome 14, chromosome 14 responds, accepts or denies that change, and then makes another cell. Well, if it accepts cancer cell malignancy, if that's what you want to call it, then it replicates the cancer cell, and so you keep making cancer copies until you get more cancer cells than you have what you call normal cells. All right. So that's when, if there's a change, the change that we were talking about, or the activation of chromosome 14, will set into a perfect cell more strands of double helixes to the point that you'll have 144 pair.
Okay, that's the overall arc. The details contradict the pattern about the RNA being the stealth guy. You agree, Carolyn? So what he just said does not show a stealth aspect.
Well, he hasn't finished speaking.
Oh, he did. He gave it.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ion.
So chromosome 14 does not tell the RNA what to deliver as a message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The RNA acid gets a message, delivers it.
Where did he get the message from if it didn't get it from the foul reservoir of the chromosome 14?
Because RNA doesn't, where does RNA come from? What is RNA? RNA is the acid within the cell that communicates what the cell is to be.
Do you remember talking about how the chromosome 14 takes files that the RNA gets? It gets the file, the map from the chromosome 14, and alters it stealth-wise and fools the ribose.
That's what you said. We didn't say that.
Okay, but we were saying it for a long time, and it was agreed upon. Everybody was.
Partly right. Let's just continue on, and Ion's going through it step by step. Just try to hear it out for a minute.
Okay. In this process, the RNA is RNA. It's all through the cell. The RNA receives, it's the messenger. It's the acid that sets what the information's used, that the DNA uses a component for what kind of cell it's going to be.
So could you say a sentence again? That was too many ups and propositions.
RNA. is all through the cell. RNA gives the information
from the emotion.
From an emotion, it's fine. It gives it to the whole cell. Chromosome 14 picks up, notices, registers whatever message the RNA has to say.
And what's it do with it?
It uses that new message to make a new cell.
That's interacting with the ribose, right?
That's correct, the protein molecule of the cellular strata. Good. Now, when that new cell is made, you have a whole new cell that also has RNA. RNA will give the message, and if the message is cancer, it'll keep making cancer cells. Okay? And then what happens is, if you activate, is that enough of that? Did you get that? I mean, there's nothing else.
Simple thing, RNA brings the disease motion, and the chromosome arrives, fucking make a new cell.
Bam.
But I just want to say, we've been working for an hour or two on the metaphor that the chromosome was the files, and you did say this, because I remember, the RNA gets the map, the file from the chromosome 14. That thread of thought is not entered into this new thread of thought.
Well, because it is, that's exactly what we said. It's the only effect is on chromosome 14. But chromosome 14 doesn't then turn around and tell the RNA what to do.
It does hand the map to the RNA.
How?
You said, you know Carolyn had said that an hour ago, right? We heard those words.
No, the RNA goes and slaps up against DNA, or the chromosome 14 DNA, and takes the message to the ribosome to make the cell.
New cell.
It gets the it brings a message, emotionally damaged message.
It doesn't really bring a message. It has an emotional imprint on it,
that what it which gets then from the chromosome 14.
Which then kind of mixes with what it picks up from the chromosome 14.
And pollutes it, and then hands that over to the ribose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, once that chromosome 14, which was discussed an hour ago, and what we said was chromosome 14, then once it becomes in the ascended process or through the lactated ringers or Caron solution, what happens is that chromosome 14 has a propensity to add DNA or helix strands to become a perfect cell. Now, RNA will tell chromosome 14 to do this. Chromosome 14 will say, okay, I got the message, and it will respond.
Okay, RNA will tell. You brought in here. See, the chromosome is responding to the gong, the new lactate effect. Mm-hmm. Where does RNA, what's RNA do in the middle of this?
I think what's happening there is, you know, we've been talking about the emotional RNA bringing negative emotion, but the positive emotion of ascension on RNA will tell chromosome 14 to make more strands.
That's correct.
I don't think there was a communication between the RNA and the chromosome 14.
That's the only thing that's been communicated so far, and in total,
doesn't it pick up a message? You see, there. Oh, that little point.
14, we didn't have a message.
The RNA gives the message to chromosome 14 and it passes on to the ribose?
Yeah, it's a messenger RNA.
That's all it is.
Okay.
So it brings an emotional message to the creation of, negative cancer or positive ascension, I guess. But they're not.
Or
any
cell.
The gong happens. Tell us about the interplay of the RNA, ribose, and chromosome 14 after the gong is out from the ringers. H302.
Okay. Then it's the message, the new message then is to chromosome 14, which responds and increases the helix strands, okay, into up to 144 pair.
That's what we call about making a new, better cell.
Perfect. No. Perfect cell.
So H3O2 makes a perfect cell?
No, we didn't say that.
Well, no, we're talking about the effect of H3O2 and the ringers on as a gong on the whole cell.
It'll give it that imprint. That solution will change RNA, and it will give RNA a new message. And that new message will then be deposited or delivered to chromosome 14. Chromosome 14 will then respond. And in the very best it can respond is it'll make 144 pairs of helix.
Okay, let's say it doesn't do that. The cancer patient gets healed. Is there a certain number of new helixes that have been made?
No, you can have what you have now and be cancer free, but we're talking about the supercell.
Right. But just get the first phase. The ringers make a cancer patient feel better. There's no more cancer.
No, the same that you have now.
The same that you have now. You mean one?
Right. But it doesn't make you feel better. It may make you feel better, but it doesn't make cancer go away. It makes the cells stop replicating cancer cells, so there's no more cancer.
Right, and the new cell dominates, and it's a healthy cell.
Exactly, and then the healthy cell becomes, it will replace the cells, because you're constantly losing and gaining cells. So if it's not making any more cancer cells, then finally the cancer will just be absorbed and washed away.
Okay, so if you start making healthy cells, now you're adding an extra postgraduate level that this keep taking H3O2, it'll start stimulating the chromosome to divide to eventually 144?
Correct, and it doesn't even have to keep taking it. It can happen that way, but typically we're dealing with just a solution that deals with at the cellular level. Once they figure out what they're doing, then you can go on and adjust Carolyn's formula in a perfect way to make it to where in them coming to their power as an ascended being, that always helps too.
Yeah, so when the person gets better, they're amazed, then they're open to suggestion to start really getting better vibed. And if their rules allow that, their cells will divide and improve, become perfect.
Grow. Then they can grow hair back, then they can grow arms back, then they can grow a new heart, they can grow a new liver, whatever they require instantly.
So establish what we've established here. Do you agree with this? No, we'll get to that. Do you agree with this sentence? That the lactose ringers HCO stops the growth of the old cells and just start making new perfect cells.
We know that.
That's what's being done in a simple statement.
Right.
Now, where we were 40 minutes ago, Carolyn, was to the point where you were talking about that this 144,000 possibilities or 144 new strands would come into this supercell place, and you were making the statement that would be the conclusion, that would be the ascended position, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? In caveman days, that's how many strands there were.
Yeah, that's the Garden of Eden era.
That's right. There was no room for a disease or disconnection.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, the babies were born, and they remained tapped into source as they grew up.
And so therefore, Bob, the message from a person, an ascended cell, let's call it an ascended cell, if you can get an ascended cell, what kind of copies would the RNA tell a perfect cell to replicate, but a perfect one?
Because the RNA is responding to the perfect emotional container ductility.
And with the way that the new helixes have been orchestrated, there's no room because you have every possibility now in play. So every possibility is dealt with instantly. So any anomaly that were to come up would be adjusted immediately because of the heightened communication skills of the RNA. Because remember, RNA is throughout the whole cell.
responding perfectly to everything. Any little contrast, it deals with pretty quickly. So you never get a problem in the cell level, and cellular knowledge is irrelevant because it's being processed by the human being properly before.
So all you're doing is getting it back the way it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's significant because once you come to that place, then the human body responds perfectly. And it makes no difference what you eat. It makes no difference what you do. It makes no difference. The only thing that you want to play, but in an ascended process, you're going to be focused on your joy. Your feelings are already going to be unhurtable.
Yeah, the healthy caveman, healthy human coming now, it's not the cellular knowledge irrelevant.
It is indeed. But you got to deal with it. The only reason it's relevant is because folks are using their lack of understanding within the genetic structure to exit their body,
yep,
or lack of their own power.
Most cultural knowledge is a protective mechanism for a less than position.
Good. And this gives an answer. So if you want an answer, this is one.
Okay. This whole supercell stuff, Carol's going to talk about that as an answer?
Yes.
About what this substance will lead to?
No, let's just ask this first. How did we begin to lose our 144 strands, and is there some evidence of 144 strands in any cellular material that can be found?
Sure. They got cavemen.
Mm-hmm.
Run a DNA on a caveman.
The junk DNA is not... Some people think junk DNA contains the evidence of something.
They don't even know what that is.
Right. So if you... Well, how do you find a caveman to run a thing on them?
They're everywhere, Bob.
Where? Come on, there's no caveman.
Museum. There certainly is.
Oh, they have actual copies of cavemen? Okay.
They don't have copies. They have bones. They got...
Okay, good. They have some apparatus, right. Okay, so they can do that. Have they done that? It doesn't occur to them to do that?
No. They haven't had to.
So they have the technology to see the mini strands. If they did it.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what... So when you said, and so there's your answer, Carolyn, ask what the context of the answer is and who you're addressing it to. So we find out what...
Now, the next question is, how did the 144 strands get lost and come down to one helix?
From connection, disconnection, disconnection, disconnection.
De-evolution.
Well, okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
We don't support evolution.
I know.
See, we would be too keen on de-evolution.
I agree.
But from your wordy words, yes, that's exactly correct. Here's what happened, Carolyn. The same thing that we're talking about doing here, the same identical thing we're talking about doing here, is the same thing that just over what you call your time, the RNA was changed, and gradually those 144 pairs got down to one pair.
On the simple level, we've been digging ourselves down a rabbit hole.
Pretty much.
And every new technology was a prosthetic to prop up our weakened condition, but that led to more weakened conditions.
Pretty much. And then the RNA didn't get mad. The RNA didn't have a fit. The RNA just took the message and said, okay, here's the message. Okay, here's the message. Okay, here's the message. And so, therefore, then, that's why chromosome 14 is the only way to increase it, is because that's the only place it came from.
That the only way to increase, if the only way you could get more 144, it only can happen because it was once that.
Correct.
Yeah. So Carol, you look around in society, we're at the bottom of hell, so to speak. Compared to what humans were, a non-physical knows all the phases humans have gone through. It's very pitiful what condition we've gotten ourselves into, Ion.
Mm. Well, that's why we came forth to say, get your power, get your power, get your power, get your power, get your power.
It was that bad you had to come forth.
The summons is...
Right, because it was so bad. We weren't going to get ourselves out of it unless factors like Ion showing up.
Well, one way or the other, you will, but the others what you're trying to escape.
The others. We're trying to escape the others.
One way or the other, you're going to get it straightened out. But we'd like...
You're giving an opportunity for some people not to be moved into physical utopia by default.
Very good. So they don't have to transition. Good.
Right. Okay.
And this is how. You get perfect sales and there's no reason to transition.
Now, Carolyn, of an hour ago you were saying, do you realize that's amazing? What was the thought that you were amazed at? I want to see if it's still relevant to what we understand now. It was about how the emotions impacted.
Theme mute for your recording, dear.
Yeah, that RNA picks up the emotional response of a person and brings it to the replication level.
Yeah, and you're saying...
I mean, there are many, many aspects of this interaction that are amazing, but
right,
that
but
was
that,
one of them.
That was a turning point, and then I wasn't sure where we went after that until it got eventually corrected. So what's amazing is nobody thinks about the RNA as being the SpongeBob that picks up and starts the thing. You're amazed at the role of RNA, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
What would you say RNA was a year ago?
It's a messenger that replicates the very important DNA.
Right, and it's just a messaging. It's minor, not a big issue.
Right, but I did have the feeling, impression that, oh, well, you know, RNA viruses are pretty damn tricky things, so maybe there's more to this RNA than meets the eye.
Yeah, does the biology help you start thinking towards the RNA?
Yeah, just respecting it more.
It does? What does our total biology say about RNA?
Nothing.
So what was it in total biology that makes...
No, I did not. Just the biology of RNA and it's how it affects... It's the genetic material in viruses, and then those viruses get in the body, and then the RNA can do anything. So... I'm just saying I realized biologically that RNA was important.
Okay, and I picked up on that when I read Croker or whatever to put the RNA function in my chart. You know, I had intuition of the role of RNA is important, more important in a sense. Mm-hmm. But what did you learn from total biology that...
Nothing.
So what they're talking about is irrelevant to what we're talking about.
Well, okay, good point. No, what they say is your conflict, which we'll say is emotion, can imprint a message in your body that then translates into a disease.
Yeah, so the psychosomatic meme, total biology re-energized for you,
mm-hmm.
and what people used to call psychosomatic, and you're saying this cancer is psychosomatic.
It appears
But you don't heal it by fixing some emotional state in yourself. Once you get cancer, you can get the solution to fix it.
Right.
Then in the future, once you're balanced, you then in the future know how to process your emotions and not affect your DNA structure.
Right.
Okay, so we got that. So what, you know, what's interesting now, chromosome 14, right now I can't say what it is. I thought I understood. Well, RNA did it. And then chromosome 14 becomes a more important factor once the disease is set in, once the RNA has started the new thing. You've got to get to the chromosome 14, Carol?
Mm-hmm.
See, I find it interesting. It's all understandable the last 10, 15 minutes. But
well,
now,
you'll have
after,
to re-listen to it. That's
yeah, no, but, well, we should be able to get the basic pattern.
It's pretty intricate, Bob. I mean, this is...
Okay, well, let's attempt to restate it, what we learned. The RNA gets affected first. Then you get a new...
No, first.
By the emotion. RNA brings in the emotion.
Okay.
That somehow affects the chromosome 14, which makes a new damaged cell. The new solution gongs the whole process and stops that making and starts a new healthy cell being made. And chromosome 14 and its relationship to RNA and ribose is part of that process.
Very good.
Yeah, so why do we, what is it about chromosome 14 that we highlight?
The fact that it has the unstable arm and it seems to be the pivotal point of creating disconnection or allowing the reconnection.
It's the changeable, adjustable thing.
The only one that has the ability to accept the new information from RNA to make a causal change in the DNA strata.
The chromosome 14, they have to have that there for the H3O2 to work, and it gets the message from the gong, affects the RNA, and then the chromosome, and everything's better.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we would say okay, and the only issue is that it's not so that H3O2 can work.
It doesn't work?
It's not why it works. It doesn't have to be that way so H3O2 can work.
No, I don't mean that. The H3O2 gongs the process, and the chromosome 14 changes, and it only changes once it gets the new gong effect through the RNA.
Good. Yes. Good.
What is Ion feeding JW's body?
Nothing. He's putting away stuff, and he's fixing to find salt.
Well, you heard the noise, Carolyn?
Yeah, I'm making noise, and he's making noise.
And you thought he was eating something?